Welcome back to our next lesson in our Old Testament Bible history series. We will join David as he runs from Saul, who is hunting him. Follow along with these events in 1 Samuel chapters 21 through 25. First, a question for you. What really bothers you? What really gets you upset? Is there something that is guaranteed to get a reaction from you? Sometimes young people, if they are teased or bothered enough, they can just lash out and get really angry. They lose control. Have you ever seen that? I suppose that's what Saul was like when he threw a spear at his own son Jonathan. He must be really angry and not thinking to do something terrible like that. What would you do if you had an opportunity to get even, to do something back to a bully, to make the bully know what it feels like to be a target? And what if you could do it and get away with it? Nobody would know. David has such an opportunity in this story, and let's see how he handles it. We meet David in our story, and if you could see him, you would never think that this was an important soldier in Israel's army, much less the next king of Israel. No. He is alone. No weapons, no food, no friends, no one to help him. His situation is very dangerous, for the king and all his might and power are after his life. David flees to Nob, where it seems is the new location for the tabernacle. Ahimelech the priest is uncertain about meeting David like this. David, with no excuse, deceives the priest about his reason for being there and asks for food and weapons. In this emergency, Ahimelech gives David the showbread, normally kept for the priests to eat. He arms David with the sword of Goliath. David turns to leave, but someone has noticed him and has heard their conversation. It is Doeg, one of Saul's servants. David traveled on to the city of Gath, one of the five major Philistine cities. Hopefully, they will not recognize him as fast as the people of Israel would. But they do. Servants of the king of Gath come to him and say, "We think we have found David, the famous soldier of Israel." David is brought before the king, and fearing his life and future, he deceives this man too. He pretends to be crazy, spitting in his beard and scratching the doors. The king of Gath is not impressed and tells his servants to not bother him with this crazy man. Take him away. David has to leave again, fleeing back to the east, into Israel. Praying to the Lord, he finds safety in the cave of Adullam in Judah. David's father and brothers come and join him when they hear of his new location. They were not safe either from Saul, being so closely related to the hated David. And there he's joined by many others who were also afraid for their life. You would call them the outcasts in society today. They joined David and asked him to lead and protect them. Then it was no longer safe to stay in the cave. So he went further east to Moab, leaving his parents in safety there, outside of Saul's deadly reach. God sent the prophet Gad to David to tell him to return to Judah with his 400 men. All this time, Saul has been hunting for David, determined to kill him this time. They hid in a forest, then in a cave, and on it went. Saul is going crazy because he begins to accuse his own men of conspiring against him. Then Doeg speaks up, telling Saul of all that he saw and heard between Ahimelech the priest and David. He tells him about the bread, the sword, everything. Ahimelech truthfully tells Saul he had believed he was helping Saul by helping David. Saul refuses to believe him and commands him to be killed. Saul's own soldiers refuse at first to do this terrible act, but Doeg finally steps in to carry out this wicked command. In a frenzy, Saul then commands all the priests of Nob to be killed. Another 85 priests died that day in Nob, along with women, children, and livestock. But Abiathar managed to escape, running for safety to David and telling him all that has happened. David is devastated to hear that his actions have resulted in this terrible carnage. If you are following along in your Bible, read the first half of chapter 23. Compare Saul's awful treatment of the priests at Nob with David's rescue of the people of Keilah. David has his own life to worry about along with his followers, but now he hears about the city of Keilah that is being threatened by the Philistines. David seeks God's help to see if he should rescue Keilah. God promises him the victory, and David rescues Keilah. You can imagine how grateful these people were to David. But they felt more scared of Saul than they felt secure with David. God tells David that the people of Keilah will betray him into the hands of Saul, and he better leave. The Bible does not tell us all the details, but David has been on the run for a long time, finding safety in caves and behind trees. Now he's in a city with walls and gates with people that owe him their lives, and that is not even enough. David knew what it was like to be hunted, to have no place to rest, to be rejected even by those whose lives he saved. David and his 600 men are hiding in the wilderness in the south of Judah. God did not leave him completely alone, because soon Jonathan manages to find David and he comes to strengthen his friend in God. "Don't be scared of Saul, David. You're going to be the next king of Israel. I'll be next to you to help you. You will be king, David, and even my father knows this." What a gracious encouragement that God has sent to David by his best friend, his soulmate, Jonathan. But right there in that country was the town of Ziph. They were not friendly to David, and when they learned David was hiding there, they betrayed him to Saul. In a few days, the king arrives with his soldiers, and David manages to escape again just in time with Saul's army in hot pursuit. This time, it looked really bad because they were nearly surrounded. God again sent relief because Saul received a message that he was needed to push back another attack by the Philistines. David was safe, but this place was not safe to stay. David fled to the north about halfway up the Dead Sea on its west shore. There was the wilderness of En-Gedi, and David and his men found safety in a cave again. It is a really large cave. Saul at this time is returning from pushing back the Philistines and is going to pick up the trail of David in En-Gedi. Amazingly, Saul stops for the night to sleep in the very same cave where David and his men were hiding. Can you imagine? David and his men were hidden in the darkness at the back of the cave. They know that Saul is in the area, and then suddenly a man walks in, dragging his feet and exhausted. Without bothering to see what was in the cave, he lay down and went to sleep. David's men can barely believe this. It must be the work of God. They whisper softly to David, "At last God has given you a chance to kill your enemy." And without answering, David quietly creeps forward to Saul. He draws his sword and, "David, what are you doing?" The men at the back of the cave peer forward. "Has David killed his enemy? He's coming back. What is he holding in his hand?" David has not hurt the king at all. He has only cut off a piece of the king's robe. He was so quiet the king did not even wake up. The men are puzzled. But some of the men understand why David did this. When Saul wakes up in the morning, he stretches and walks out of the cave a ways. You can imagine his surprise when he hears a voice calling him, "My lord, the king!" Saul whirls around to see who this was and is shocked to see David standing in the very cave that he just left. David bows to the king. "O King Saul, why do you believe those who tell you I am your enemy? I could have killed you last night, Saul. God delivered you into my power. But I said, no, I will not kill him, for God anointed you to be king. I could have easily killed you, but I only cut off a piece of your robe. David holds up the piece of cloth, and Saul clutches his robe. Yes, it's true. He sees a missing piece in his robe. David again, why do you try to kill me, Saul? The Lord will punish you if you harm me, but I'll never try to kill you. Seeing this proof of his own close call with death, hearing David's friendly words, knowing that it was the truth, he felt ashamed, and he called back, is that you, my son David? He began to cry. You have been so good, David, but I have been wicked. May God reward you, David. I know you will be king one day. Promise me you will be friendly to my children when that day comes. David promises, and Saul went home. David returned to the cave. That's a nice ending, isn't it? But David remembers Saul, the spear, and he remembers Saul's ugly temper. In this break from Saul's hunt for David, the news reaches David that Samuel has died. Samuel is buried at Ramah. David gets up and leaves for the wilderness of Paran to the south. It is really rough country there. In that area is a rich man, Nabal, who had very large herds of sheep and goats. In the past, David had either protected this man or helped him with his task of caring for his flocks and herds. Nabal was busy preparing a large feast for his men who had done the task of shearing the sheep. Knowing this, David sent a kind request for some of this food. After all, he had 600 men that he had to feed, and he had been kind to Nabal in the past. However, Nabal was not in any mood to help David, and certainly did not want to share any of his wealth. He was stingy. Listen to his answer. David, who is that? He is just another servant who has run away from his master. I'm not going to take food away from my hardworking men and give it to David and a bunch of other men I do not know. Never. It is always rude to not help those in need, but it was especially terrible in that culture. David's men then see a side of David that is new to them. David is really angry. He's going to take his men and punish Nabal. If he's not going to give us some food, we're going to go and take it from him, he says. One of Nabal's servants learns of David's plans and tells Abigail. Abigail is the wise and beautiful wife of Nabal. The servant passes on the news of David's plan to punish Nabal. Abigail acts quickly and wisely. She takes 200 loaves of bread, 2 big wine bottles, 5 roasted sheep, grain, raisins, figs. She loaded it all onto some donkeys and sent it to David, all without telling Nabal. She followed on another donkey. As she came into view of David, she bowed before David, apologizing for her husband's rude behavior. I know that the Lord will make you victorious over all your enemies. I know you will be ruler over Israel. When that happens, you will be glad that you have not killed any of the family of Nabal. This made David happy to hear. He was impressed with Abigail. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you to meet me today. Your advice has kept me from killing Nabal. When Abigail returned home, she returned to her husband Nabal, who was drunk at a feast and in a very ugly mood. Abigail wisely waited until the morning to tell her husband about the grave danger he had been in the night before and how David had nearly killed him. Nabal was really frightened. Within a few days, God sent a sickness to Nabal that he eventually died from. When David heard of Nabal's death, he asked Abigail to be his wife. She gladly accepted his proposal. David was now married to 3 wives, Ahinoam, Michal, and now Abigail. It is clear from this story that God protected and spared David and his men. But this is more than an adventure story. you and I have to learn something about this story that teaches us about God, about who he is, and about what he does. How does this story fit into the big picture of the Old Testament? How does this story give us a fuller picture of the Lord Jesus? We know that David is a picture of the future Messiah who would come and deliver his people from sin. How does David show what the future Messiah will be like? Well, do you remember when he was in the cave of Adullam? Many outcasts from society came and fled to David. All those who had a problem, who had debts they could not pay. They wanted David to be their captain. The Lord Jesus also welcomes those who have debts they cannot pay. The Lord Jesus welcomes sinners. Come unto me, all those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus does not expect sinners to first clean up their life a little bit and look more presentable before coming to him for salvation. In Matthew 9, we learn that as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Were these publicans and sinners welcome guests? Yes. That's what the Pharisees complained about. They complained that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. In the Bible, God invites people, sinners, to be his guests. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. The Lord Jesus speaks about a man who put on a great feast and whose invited guests refused the invitation. The man was angry, told the servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. You can read the rest of that story in Luke 14. You see how David welcomed all those who came to him? So the Lord Jesus will not turn away any that come to him. Think back to this story for a moment. David fled from Michah to Nob, then to Gath, back into Israel to the cave of Adullam. From there he went to Moab, back to Israel again, hiding in caves and forests. After saving the city of Keilah, he had a stronghold, a place with walls and gates, safety at last. But no, the very people whom he had saved were going to deliver him up to Saul. He flees again, and at his lowest point, God blesses him with a visit from Jonathan and an encouragement to fear not. Does this not remind you of the life that the Lord Jesus would lead? Pursued by enemies, eventually delivered up, and crucified by some of the very same people that he had come to this earth to save. The Lord Jesus knew what it was to be rejected and not appreciated, for he was perfect and never did any sin. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was alone, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. When Jesus was on the cross, there was no message of fear not for him. No, there was his Father forsaking him, and Jesus crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? David is hunted by Saul. Why? In 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, Saul hears the kingdom will be taken away from him. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be a captain over his people. That was David. But when you read and hear of David's suffering in this story, think of the greater David, the Lord Jesus, the one who was really, truly a man after God's own heart, the one who is the captain of our salvation, who was made perfect through sufferings. In our next lesson, we will finish the first book of Samuel and then learn about the last days of Saul.